Any others before we come before the Lord? If not, then let us join our hearts together. And if you have that unspoken request, it's too great. A hand up and down. Thank you. Let us put our hearts together and find Him. Heavenly Father, before we can start to do anything, before we can go one step further, we have to thank You for everything. Not just for the good stuff, but for the bad stuff. Because the bad stuff reminds us that we only have to suffer so long because of our faith, our love, and our trust in Your Son, Jesus. Thank You. Thank You for giving us the blessings so richly bestowed in this season. Thank You. And Father, You've heard so much here this morning of all those who need prayer and need strengthening and need comfort. Father, we ask that You would bless them and lift them up so that when those prayers are answered, they become stories that tell of Your wondrous work. We often look toward this season, Father, as a season of stress, as a season of how am I going to do what I'm going to do. And we need to remind ourselves that the day fast approaches, that the greatest gift ever given was put out. And we thank You yet again. We beg Your mercy. We beg Your forgiveness for our sins where we have fallen short of You. And Father, we pray for those around the world, around the corner, around the town, who seem to find comfort in message and song and word that is not from the Bible, Father. We'd ask that You would open up their hearts and let them hear the true message of Christmas, Jesus Christ. And that this world would continue to strengthen itself towards You, quit moving away from, remind us that we were given this gift of this country by You. Thank You, Father, for those who have been sick and away and are back with us, and our prayers go out to those unable to be with us here today due to sickness. And that You would send our prayers around the world and lay them into the hearts of those who are unspoken, those who write down in the prayer box, Father. That You would be with those that give their time, their essence, their energy to minister unto those who do not know Christ yet, to serve us in whatever capacity, to give us comfort, to give us healing, to give us warmth, to give us joy. Father, bind us together under Your Son, in whose name we pray, and all of Christ's children said, Amen. Amen. Our scripture lesson today comes from Psalms Chapter 98. All nine verses. When I was leaving the house this morning, the boys were like, Daddy, what are we going to do today? I said, I want you to go read Psalm 98. They said, what verse? Is there a 98th verse? I said, no, I want you to read Psalm 98. Where is that at? I said, it's in the Bible. They couldn't comprehend. I wanted them to read all nine, and so they're to study that today. It's a song of victory because God is victorious over evil, and those who follow Him will be victorious with Him. We don't know who wrote it, but it is a psalm nonetheless. Psalm 98, verse 1. Sing unto the Lord a new song, for He has done a marvelous thing. His right hand and His holy arm have worked salvation for Him. The Lord has made known His salvation known and revealed His righteousness to the nations. He has remembered His love and His faithfulness to the house of Israel. All the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of our God. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Burst into jubilant song with music. Make music to the Lord with the harp. With the harp and with the sound of singing, with trumpets and the blast of the ram's horn, shout for joy before the Lord, the King. Let the sea resound and everything in it, the world and all who live in it. Let the rivers clap their hands. Let the mountains sing for joy. Let them sing before the Lord, for He comes to judge the earth. He will judge the world in righteousness and the peoples with equity. May God add His blessings to this passage, and may He bind our hearts together and give us that love as we prepare for His message. Would you please join with me in prayer? Father, set aside our labors, set aside our thoughts of the things that will go on outside these doors, and strengthen us for this message. Lift us up, Father. Prepare us for the trials and tribulations. Walk us in this word that we may become closer to you in every moment that we live. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Now, Webster defines the following. He defines joyful as feeling, causing, indicating joy. Joyful. And that's what we listen to in the psalmist there. Joyful. In the King James Version, make a joyful noise unto the Lord. And noise is the word that they use. And we often think of noise as what? Anything that is unpleasant. And that's the way it's defined. But a further look into the dictionary defines noise as the following: a sound or a sound of any kind, be it pleasant or unpleasant, that we hear. And we hear a lot of noise in this world. I often laugh at the kids that doing things that I did now, when they pull up beside me in their cars and that music is playing. I call it that flat tire music. And when they got their windows down, well, I put my windows down and turn the bluegrass up so we can share. But they never see the humor in that. That's noise. There's all kinds of noises in this world. There's all kinds of things around that make us furrow our brow. But when we listen to the word, when we listen to what the writers are saying, he says, sing a new song. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord. The Lord doesn't hear anything we do that we're doing for him as wrong. And this is the season. You get it? Tis the day. I saw somebody this morning here counting down the hours. Pastor Alan Smith, Brownsville Church of the Brethren. You all know him real well. He said one day, and this was this morning, one day, and I don't know, 17 hours ago or however many, 4 hours, whatever it was, he's counting down the minutes till we hear that joyful noise, till we make that joyful noise. But how do you do that? How do you determine what a joyful noise is? In my world, it comes in all kinds of forms. And so, I decided I'd pick out three joyful noises that absolutely make me shout, make me happy, make me hear them, and I thought I would share them with you so that you would understand. And at the end of each noise, you'll hear what that noise means to me. A Nathan 5 chime perched upon the top of a 300 pound per square inch steam boiler laying out what's known as a grade crossing. You play that sound, I'll listen to you for an hour. The second sound is the Pratt & Whitney monstrous 25 horsepower radial engine on the front end of a B-17 coming to life. Every time, and I've been next to them when they start, I am a mess. I sit there, get all sweepy. And the sound of a baby laughing. Those are joyful noises to me. But for as much as they're worth, for as much as they bring to me, they equal nothing compared to the noise that we share when we say Jesus Christ is Lord. You ain't got to sing it. You ain't got to dance it. You just simply have to speak it. And that's what the psalmist is writing there. Sing unto the Lord a new song. And there is a new song coming. On Christmas Day, we will sing that new song, that new old song, all over again, won't you? Jesus Christ is born. Hallelujah. He was born to bring hope into this troubled world. He was born to save us. He was given to us for absolutely no reason other than the Father loved us. And He came here to bring us hope, salvation, and joy. Pastor Clifford Stewart of Louisville, Kentucky, sent his parents a microwave oven one year for Christmas. He said, here's how he recalls the experience. He said they were excited that they now too could be part of this instant generation. Oh, a brand new microwave. Dad popped the thing out of the box, and literally within seconds, this brand new joy that was making everybody smile was frowns. After reading the instructions, they still couldn't figure out how to make the dumb thing work. And so they gave up on it. They shoved it off in a corner. A couple days later, Mom was playing bridge with a friend and confessed her inability to even get the microwave oven to simply boil water. To get this thing to work, she exclaimed, I don't need better instructions. I just need my son to come along with the gift. When God gave the gift of salvation, He didn't send a complicated book of instructions. He gave us His Son. Amen. He gave us hope. He gave us salvation. He gave us the reason to make a joyful noise. He gave us that thing that was necessary that we would shout out. I love that, but it doesn't stop there. You heard Charlie read this morning from Psalm 96, but if you swing over to Psalm 100, and I'll bet you closed your Bibles, didn't you? Open them back up. And my Bible, my study Bible, it says the theme, the writer, they don't know, but the theme is an invitation to enter joyfully into God's presence. Joyfully. Psalm 100. Shout for the joy. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before Him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. It is He who made us, and we are His. We are His people, the sheep of His pasture. Verse 4, enter His gates with thanksgiving and His courts with praise. Give thanks to Him and praise His name. For the Lord is good and His love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. Amen. And yes, thank you, Kathy. In our Bible study, which a lot of you weren't there, we looked hard at Isaiah chapter 9. And absolutely there is a truth there. And it doesn't just start with that. It starts all the way back in Genesis. There are thousands of prophecies concerning the birth of Christ. Over 1,000 years worth. And when you consider that the book of Malachi stopped, and for 400 years God went silent, He was preparing. He was making things ready in His time, that we would be able to make that joyful noise when the Messiah came to save us. Making that joyful noise. Those sounds you heard, those things that we played, those are all fun and I love hearing them, but I can't begin to put any amount of emphasis on the beauty of hearing two ladies sing a song that is so beautiful, or hearing children line up and sing, or hearing those words when you walk through a store at this time of year, which are what? Merry Christmas! When people say Happy Holidays to me, if they're dumb enough to shake my hand and say them dumb words to me, I grab their hand a little bit tighter, because I used to milk cows, so I can do that. And I hold on to them for a minute and I go, Merry Christmas. I don't want to hear Happy Holidays. Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas. I want to make that joyful noise. Merry Christmas. To us, a Savior has been born. Merry Christmas. To us, Jesus is the reason for the season. As we come forward to that day, it is a beautiful moment to think about. Why do we give presents? That was a great question this morning. Why do we get presents? Well, because I've been a good boy all year.
No.
No, that ain't it. We do it in memory of the greatest present ever given, the greatest gift ever given. Long ago, there ruled in Persia a wise and good king, and he loved his people. Loved them. And he wanted to know how they lived. He wanted to know about their hardships. Often he dressed in the clothes of a working man or a beggar or somebody who was poor, and he went to the homes of people and asked for scraps of bread and crumbs, and no one whom he visited ever knew that he was their ruler. And one time he visited a man who was so poor he lived in the cellar. And this king, this great glorious king, dressed in the clothes of a beggar, goes into the cellar and ate the nasty, coarse, meager food that the man had eaten. He spoke cheerful and kind words to him, and then he left. The king was so moved by the mood in that room that later on he visited the poor man again, but this time he disclosed his identity by telling him, "I am your king who has dined with you." The king thought surely the man would ask for some gift or some favor, but he didn't. Instead, that poor man, having nothing in this world, looked at his king and said, "You left your palace and your glory to visit me in this dark, dreary, horrible place. You ate the coarse food I ate. You, sir, you, my king, have brought joy, gladness, warmth to my heart. To others you have given rich gifts. To me you have given yourself. The king has come to me." Me. The king, Lord Jesus Christ, gave himself to you and to me. The Bible calls it the unspeakable gift. Indescribable gift. There is no, and I heard a pastor talking about this past week, and it caught me off guard because I've never thought about it. Can you think of something that is truly indescribable? You can describe pretty near everything you think of. Yet the Bible calls the gift of Jesus Christ indescribable. There are no words to fill it. There are no absolute verses. There are no songs, there are no sounds that can be made to describe it other than the joyful noises that you make when you praise Him. When you lift up your voice and say, "Thank you. Merry Christmas." Not season's greetings, not happy holidays, not have a cool Yule. Merry Christmas. I saw a lot of Christmas lights. We went down to my wife's family just yesterday, and we had a wonderful time down there. And on the way home, we took the back roads because I love looking for Christmas lights. Yes, I'm the guy in front of you that'll be driving 50 miles an hour, and when I see a yard all lit up, suddenly I'm going 20. I'm sorry. I love seeing them. And one person simply had spelled out on the roof of their house, "Joy." That was the only Christmas lights they had. Joy. Big. Joy. I thought that was appropriate and beautiful, and that was a joyful noise. Joy. Jesus, others, and you. My Sunday school teachers all around here, right? Joy. Joyful noise that we lift up, that we give to Him because of what He gave to us. Chuck Swindoll, in a message this past week I was listening to, and yes, I'm going to steal from him, and I happen to know that the great Chuck Swindoll from that church down in Texas listens to my sermons every Sunday, so I know he's going to hear this. But Chuck Swindoll told this story, and it was beautiful, and I have to share it. He talked about doing some last-minute Christmas shopping here maybe a couple of years back, and he was in a big store, and he was out there doing whatever he had to do, and he was all by himself. When suddenly some woman walked up to him and went, "Pastor Chuck," and he startled. He said, "I was so glad she caught me behaving myself." I know that feeling as a preacher. When somebody sees you in town, you want to make sure, let's see, I'm behaving. She walked up to him and she wished him a Merry Christmas, and he thanked her, and he said, I didn't know her. And she said, I want to give you something. But the whole time that she was standing there in front of him, she had a three-year-old son that was pulling at her dress and dancing around and whining about want to get going, want to keep on moving on. And Pastor Chuck said, you don't have to give me nothing. She goes, no, I want to buy you something. It is important that your ministry has meant so much. My name is. And she explained her name and she showed herself to him. And they talked and they stood there. And the whole time, Chuck said that the little boy was dancing around just absolutely wanting to go. And Chuck told her, said, you don't need to give me anything. And the woman looked at him with earnest in her heart and says, how about a three-year-old boy? He said, thankfully I've returned home without the boy. But he said, I got to thinking. God could have given us anything. You know what I read last Sunday? He could have given us all $1 million. He could give us all perfect health. He could give us all the biggest, finest, fanciest homes in the world to live in. He can give us anything we want, and it will not make us closer to Him. Except for His Son. The one thing He could give, He gave. That would change each and every human heart on the face of this planet and give them the everlasting glory forever. Brothers and sisters, that is what Christmas means. Make a joyful noise. Amen?
Amen.
Praise God for Christmas. Joseph Bailey wrote these words in a poem. Praise Him for the incarnation, for the Word made flesh. I will not sing of shepherds watching flocks on frosty nights, or angel choristers. I will not sing of a stable bare in Bethlehem, or lowing oxen, wise men trailing star with gold, frankincense and myrrh. Tonight, I will sing praise to the Father who stood on heaven's threshold and said farewell to His Son. As He stepped across the stars to Bethlehem and Jerusalem, I will sing praise to the infinite, eternal Son who became most finite, a baby, who would one day be executed for my crime. Praise Him in the heavens. Praise Him in the stable. Praise Him in my heart. I've often said it, and I often tell you to do it, and I mean it if you ever get a chance. Grab the book, 6 Hours One Friday, by Max Lucado, and just read it. And I defy that you read that book cover to cover, and your eyes ain't wet at least 20 times going through. Max paints a very clear picture of it all, just like Joseph Bailey did when he said, imagine heaven, if you will, as God stood there, looking down at mankind. His Son, His child, His greatest gift, turned to Him and said, Father, I'll go. No, I don't want you to go. You don't understand. It's going to be hard for you down there. You're going to be born into this manger. You're going to be brought up in dirt and filth and poorness. I'll go. But I don't want you to go. I want you here with me. I want you to stay here next to me. I want you to be my son and rule with me. I'll go. But and Jesus said goodbye and walked out of heaven. Make a joyful noise for that greatest gift. When you see someone, you say Merry Christmas. When you sing those hymns, you belt them. When you talk of Christ and His wonder, you say it loud and you declare it. I am owned, bought for and paid by Jesus Christ. Born of a virgin, in a stable, this Christmas day, rose to die for my sins, that I may have hope everlasting and an eternal home to go to where I may praise Him evermore and make that joyful noise. Hallelujah!
Hallelujah.
Amen. Let us pray. Father, give us the words. Give us the strength. Give us that which we need. Let us never forget to praise, to thank, to be just full of that glowing joy. In our worst times, let us thank You. In our best times, let us thank You. Let us draw closer unto You as we come to know You better through Christmas, the birth of Your Son, that He came into the world and brought joy. Not just happiness, not just laughter. He brought joy with hope and salvation. That as we sing unto Him, that we make that joyful noise. That as we give unto Him, we fulfill that honor. We hear the words written by the psalmists. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord. In Jesus' precious name, thank You. Thank You for that Son. Thank You for that blessing. Thank You for that wonder. Amen. As we prepare for the last hymn, I ask that if you have that particular need, that you be drawn forward. We have room up here for prayer. If you need me to pray with you, if you need anything, come forward. And I submit to you a story. Maybe I've told, maybe I haven't. But that when my father preached at Johnstown Church of the Brethren and I was a young boy, I always sat in the very back of the church because I figured if he couldn't see me, I couldn't get in trouble. That never worked, by the way. And I sat right in front of an old man, whom I cannot remember his name, and he sang every hymn as hard as he could go, out of tune and out of time. But he didn't care. He made that joyful noise. And as we prepare for this moment, we come forward in prayer. We sing this last hymn. Let us make that joyful noise.
Please stand and turn to page 253.
Sigh.
Father,
ask that you would remember us today that we go to Western Maryland to bring yet the message to those who can't be out. Now, Father, bless upon us all things. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, may you make our feet light to walk. In the week to come, may you strengthen us. May you remind us, Merry Christmas. May you advance our prayers and answer them, Father. It is through Jesus' precious name that we pray. Amen.
Don't forget to check if there are any Christmas cards on the table.